Pleased to be joined on the line now by Glenn Healy, Executive Director, NHL Alumni Association, and our NHL Insider this morning. Glenn, how are you?
Gentlemen, I am I'm thawed now from the outdoor game. That was one cold weekend in Ottawa, I can tell you that.
Yeah, it definitely was, but man, what a game there. Obviously, the Senators pulling out a nice victory. Erik Karlsson was fantastic, just playing all the minutes possible in that game. What was it like for you to be there that weekend?
Great atmosphere. Even the Montreal fans were having fun, despite the fact that the team didn't score. It just hit all kinds of... You know, and I've been to them all. I was at the very first one in 2003. I did the game with Chris Cuthbert and Dick Irvin, which was kind of a great honor. I showed up at that game with no coat and dress shoes. And now, that couldn't be stupider than you define stupider. Got a coat to borrow. Chris Cuthbert had to have the booth open because there was no down between the bench location back then. And I think I barely thawed out from that 3 years later. That was cold. The one this weekend was certainly there too, and I just the fans, the chanting, the singing, you know, back and forth with Montreal and Ottawa, the flyby, just a magical weekend.
Glenn, did the player? Did the player say, "Hey, no body checking here. It's way too cold to do that."
I think there's a courteous respect. It's not like an indoor game in March. Let's face it, you know, let's call a spade a shovel. You get a chance to run someone, yeah, you probably will because you don't like the other team. But you know, you're as cold and as the next guy beside you. So you play within the boundary of Hudson Bay rules, I guess, would be the best way to put it. There is no rules, but there are some that are coded. So it's not as physical as most games. The elements are different. The players have to adapt. It's harder for the goalies. You know, you've got to use the glove warmers in between whistles. It's an element you're not used to, but you've got your family there. It's just so magical if you get a chance to take part in one of these games.
Yeah, it seemed like people were going through some outdoor game fatigue there for a little bit because just seemingly there was, you know, four or five every year for a bit of a stretch there, Glenn. But, you know, it seems like you mentioned when people go, when it's in your city or wherever, people are drawn to it. So for as long as they get people coming out to these games, it seems like they're going to continue to do them.
Yeah, you know, if you have an outdoor game in Nashville, you think anyone in Edmonton's going to care? They don't care.
No.
But tell you what, you have one in Edmonton. Everyone in Edmonton's going to care. No one in Nashville will. It just, wherever the games are, it just becomes a central focus. And, you know, that vision that the league had and John Collins and Gary Bettman and Bill Daly, like it has really played out to something that's very spectacular. I've been to them all and have enjoyed pretty much every one of them. There hasn't been one that I've left thinking, it's the last one. They shouldn't do this again. In fact, almost to a game, anytime I've gone to buy merchandise, I haven't been able to do it because the lines are too big. Like, people are just grabbing stuff up like crazy. So you get a 30-minute break, let's go get a T-shirt. Now you're going to be waiting for about 35 minutes, so you can't get one. So that's more the flavor. Everybody just absolutely embracing it. And coming from all over. I mean, the rink set up on the Capitol of Parliament Hill was pretty much amazing. And the game itself, I mean, it brought back memories of when they were an expansion team and we used to play in that old crappy little building there they had. And then, you know, we'd grab a couple beers and we'd skate back to the hotel on the canal after throttling the Ottawa Senators because they were really no good. That's the way expansion was back in the day. They were easy games. It's changed now, for sure.
Glenn, obviously the headlines hitting into the game was Eugene Melnyk's comments, and I don't really disagree with some of the things he was saying because the dude has lost millions of dollars owning the Ottawa Senators. Doesn't he just have to have a better sense of the timing of some of those comments right in front of probably one of the biggest moments in franchise history for kind of the world to see what the Ottawa Senators are about?
Franchise history?
Yeah.
How about league history?
Yeah.
It's 100 years. They weren't celebrating the 100 years of the Ottawa Senators. 100 years of the league. Yeah, totally. In every way. You know, there's no doubt. There's hardship when, you know, you have a rink. And I feel for them. There's no walk-up sales. Are you going to walk from downtown Ottawa to Kanata? Start walking now. You won't get the next time they get an outdoor game.
And you'd probably die, Glenn. You'd probably die doing that.
I mean, yeah, I hated it as a player. I mean, you know, an hour drive to go to the rink to play. Hey, but, you know, those are the chips going in when you buy the team. Could you sell the team? Yeah, it's been up for sale for a long time. No one wants to buy it. not where it's sitting now. Probably downtown, it'd be a lot more, you know, appealing in every different way. But ill-timed comments for sure. And, you know, what you're going to do with your team behind the scenes, you just go do. You don't need to proclaim to the world that there's a threat that we could move this team. You're not moving the team. They kept Phoenix in Phoenix for how many years?
Yeah.
Like, if that wasn't defined as a financial disaster, then find me something else that is. There isn't anything that's more financial of a disaster than Phoenix, and they kept the team there. So they will keep it there. So I guess ill-timed, not responsible. And, you know, that sends a message to all those players too, right? If I'm, you know, anyone who's on that roster and thinking, are we here long-term? Is this owner in it for long-term? Well, if I've got choices, then that might affect the way Carlson thinks, and that would be concerning to me. If I was a fan and if I was on the team.
Glenn Healy, Executive Director of the NHL Alumni Association, and our NHL Insider this morning here on the Jeff Blair Show, Rob Wong and George Russick with you. Closer to home, Glenn, the Maple Leafs going through a bit of a rough stretch here without Austin Matthews and having lost three in a row. The goal scoring has been an issue. I'm curious from a goaltender's mindset, you know, Frederik Andersen has been playing so well right now, but when you go into a game and you're wondering, you know, how many goals is my team going to be able to give me, what does that kind of do for a goaltender's mindset heading into a game?
Well, I don't think it changes the way Andersen prepares for a game or plays the game in his head, whether it's 5-minute stretches at a time or make the first save or all the elements that you have to do as a goaltender. But it certainly does weigh on you if, you know, the team doesn't get off to a good start, the other club scores one, then maybe two at the end of the first, and you're thinking, okay, well, this one's done. Can we do like running time for the last 40 minutes? Because we're not going to score. It does weigh on you in that sense. Hey, I've had playoff rounds where, you know, I played against Patrick Waugh and his goals against was like 1.1. But how am I going to beat him with that? I mean, yeah. I'd never had a goals against a 1.1 even when I was playing with Holger Redeemer Flyers back in the 60s, for goodness sakes. Like, so it does weigh on you. You just know that there's no margin for mistakes. Will they get this back together? Well, historically, for long periods of time, they've shown they can score. And when they get Austin back, then it's going to be a different dynamic in the team. And that seems to be, with him skating before practice, not great news, but better news than sitting in the locker room for the entire practice. But he's a big part of their team in all aspects. He's irreplaceable, and they're going to have to get through it. And if it's through Andersen being better or the club being a little stingier, they're going to have to find a way. Because, again, there's no replacing an Austin Matthews.
Glenn, I know a lot of fans, and as you very well know, it's easy for the fans to panic in this city, but the Leafs, it's just the style of play isn't the same that we saw maybe at the beginning of the year, that high-flying offensive style, you know, moving the puck, pressuring, dominating the offensive zone. They've been outshot 5 of the last 6 games, and I understand Mike Babcock wants to tighten things down defensively, but if he's in fact trying to do that, they're still getting horribly outshot game in, game out. It's not the same team. He's trying to force this style, and they look very Randy Carlyle Maple Leafs to me lately, Glenn, and I don't think that's a good sign for the Leafs.
No, it's like they've lost their swagger. You know, that kind of carefree aloofness they had at the beginning of the year. It was brash and bold, and we're going to run and gun and just play without any fear, any doubt. They've lost that. Now it's all fear and all doubt, and, you know, teams, too, have prepared for them. You don't go through the first bunch of games and have a team come in and think, wow, you know, this is just a fluke that these guys are scoring. But you're right. They don't look fast. They don't look dangerous off the rush. And, you know, their power, like Komarov's the guy who I'm seeing every game. That's good for Komarov. That's a problem for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
That's the way we were 3 years ago when he went to the All-Star game. So that's where things have to change. And I think it's just the confidence level of the group is damaged. And they need to find something to get their swagger back.
You mentioned Komarov, and he's a guy that's been taking a lot of heat recently for, you know, his play. Obviously, he's having a tough season offensively, and he's a guy that's playing a lot of minutes when people are seeing, you know, players like William Nylander or Mitch Marner not getting as much opportunity. We all know Mike Babcock loves his veterans. That's been his MO for the longest time, and, you know, last year, obviously, he played a lot of the kids, but that was out of necessity, but he loves leaning on these veteran players. How long is the leash, do you think, on guys like this, though, if they continue to not give the results that maybe the team is looking for? Is Mike Babcock willing to sit a guy like Leo Komarov or one of these veterans, you think?
Yeah, that would be the answer. Yes. There's no doubt that there is one guy in charge with his hands on the wheel, and that's Mike. And even if you're not in the lineup, if Mike doesn't want to put you in the lineup a la Frankie Corrado, then guess what? You're just going to sit and watch.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's unlike any or most coaches. You know, there's a GM-coach kind of mentality. You work back and forth with each other. I would argue that Mike is the GM and the coach. If he chooses not to play you, then he chooses not to play you. His contract states that it's so long and so rich that you're really not going to listen to anybody. But what's going on in the 6 inches between his ears? Yeah, he's going to take advice from people, but, you know, he's a guy who's got here his way. And we'll continue to do it his way. And if players don't respond, you know, it's like your kids. That if they're not responding, the only thing you do is take something away. Take away their phone and watch how they change their attitude. Right? So now what can you do to an NHL player? Ice time. It's the only way to get through to guys if they don't respond. You know, yelling and screaming like the days in the 70s and 80s and 90s, that's gone. You know, players have agents, money, and are more entitled than they've ever been, so they're not going to respond to that. You almost have to text them what you want from them, show them things visually, but take away ice time or put them on instead of the second line where you're worth five and put them on the third where you're worth 2.5, that gets a message across.
Glenn, speaking of getting messages across, when the Leafs killed penalties, Ron Hainsey's essentially on the ice for 2 straight minutes with Nikita Zaitsev, and now Zaitsev is gone. There's a big hole in the penalty kill on the blue line. You can't play a Hainsey 2 minutes when he's 36 years old. The guy won't have any gas left towards the end of the season and heading into the playoffs. Should the Maple Leafs be making that move to have a depth blue liner to help on the PK sooner than later? And you say he's kind of the pseudo GM anyway. Isn't that Babcock showing Lou that, hey, I can't keep playing Hainsey every 2 minutes because you're not giving me anything else on the PK?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't think he's snubbing at anybody by doing that. He's doing that because he feels that's the most effective way to be responsible to his team, that it's working, he can do it. The player certainly thinks he can handle it. I don't find that I've ever come across a player who is going to ask for less ice time. So it's a role that he's clearly relishing in, and he's been pretty good at it. Do they need to get a more dependable, maybe a veteran blue liner? Is there 30 other teams on the line right now doing the same thing?
Of course.
Yeah, everyone's doing the same thing. You know, there's so many implications, whether it's cap or assets or trying to find the guy who fits in the room the right way. It's a difficult thing. That's one of the reasons. There's no trades that are made, hardly anymore. The biggest trade we had this year, it had to be a three-way because you couldn't make sense of the dollars and players with a two-way and three-ways. I thought we're gone with the Dodo Bird, but I'm sure they would like that. Sure, they're looking. But good luck. You know, you go to the games and you see all the scouts, and they're all looking for the same thing. If you were to go to a game and get all the scouts' reports, I would guarantee a lot of them are written the same way because they're looking for the same thing.
Yeah, that is very true. Glenn, we appreciate you coming on today. It was great chatting with you as always.
Thank you very much, guys. I'm thawed out, so this is all good. I survived the weekend.